Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Over the years, many people have tried to debunk the New Testament account of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In so doing, they reject the only one who can save them from eternal judgment. Only a virgin-born, sinless Savior can remedy the deep scars of sin that keep them in bondage. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series on slandering Jesus. Dr. Lutzer has a word now for all who seek the true Jesus.
Maybe someone listening to me here in this sanctuary or on the internet or on radio, maybe you've committed some huge sins. I mean, I'm talking about crimes. And you say to yourself, can Jesus Christ save me? And the answer is yes, he can save to the uttermost. He can save, what shall we say, to the guttermost, as people discover. He can save that man who wrote to me from prison who said, I raped 4 women. Can I ever be forgiven? He can save that man too. He's a qualified savior. And then not only that, but it can be translated and perhaps more accurately, he can save them completely. He can take them all the way to heaven. Jesus, when he saves somebody, is qualified to lift us up and to bring us into the presence of God and declare us as righteous as God himself is, because he was completely and totally holy. I know that you've heard this story before. I'm sure you have, but my wife and I were at the Palmer House yesterday, and she reminded me of it, and so I'm going to tell it to you again. Do you remember in 1993 when I told you I attended the Parliament of World Religions at the Palmer House? And 5,000 delegates came from all over the world, and they were discussing how they might unify all the religions of the world. And I was there the whole week dialoguing with these people who had come from all over the world and had a wonderful time talking with witches and New Agers and Buddhists and everything. Everything was there at the Palmer House. And one day I went on a search that you've heard before to find a sinless Savior. Now, the reason I did that is because, do you remember in Florida a number of years ago, there was a woman, a grandmother, who was taking care of her little granddaughter, and the little toddler fell into the swimming pool? And the grandmother, bless her heart, jumped in to rescue the little toddler. And a few hours later, both bodies were pulled from the water. Because, you see, if you're drowning, you need somebody who's not a part of your predicament to save you. You need somebody who's not subject to the same waves, to the same predicament and the same sins that you are. You need somebody who is sinless, who's actually able to bring you to God. So I decided I'd go to the lower floor of the Palmer House and make that search for a sinless Savior. I remember the first religion I stopped at were the Hindus, and they were very kind to me, and I said, you know, I'm looking for a sinless Savior because I'm a sinner. And I need somebody to save me. Do you have a sinless Savior? No, no, no. We have gurus and so forth, but no sinless Savior. I went to the Buddhists. I said, did Buddha claim sinlessness? Because I'm a sinner and I need help. And they said, no, enlightenment, but not sinlessness. Baha'u'llah, enlightenment, not sinlessness. I went to the Muslim table. I knew that in the Quran, Muhammad had said that he himself needed forgiveness, I think at least 7 times. No, we have a prophet, but we don't have a savior. I spent a lot of time down there, went to some of the New Agers. I went to those who believed in the cosmic Jesus to find a savior and couldn't do it. And that's when it dawned on me the radical difference that there is between Christianity and all the other options out there, because Christianity actually has someone who is perfect and holy, whose sacrifice was accepted by a holy God, and therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. And that's why I commend him to you today, is because we have a Savior who was virgin born. I love this story. On August 21st, 1544, Martin Luther wrote a letter to one of his faithful and trusted co-workers, George Spalatin. Spalatin worked there in Wittenberg and sometimes was in the library, and actually the librarian of the city of Wittenberg. Spalatin had given a friend some very bad advice. And Spalatin could not forgive himself for this because he was immersed in grief and guilt and regret, and he would not be consoled. Have you ever had that experience? You just so regret it. You say to yourself, I can't forgive myself. I can't move on. Luther wrote to him, and it's interesting to see what Luther did. Today, counselors would have handled it differently. I'm sure they'd have said, Spalatin, lighten up. Chill. I mean, we've all done silly things. We've all given bad advice. What you did is not so bad. Luther didn't do it that way. He took an entirely different view. He did not minimize the sin, but oh, how he magnified grace. Listen to the letter. My faithful request and admonition is that you join our company and associate with us, who are real great and hard-boiled sinners. He said, you must by no means make Christ seem to be paltry and trifling to us, as though he could be our helper only, when we want to be rid of imaginary, minimal, and childish sins. Oh, no, Spalatin. That would not be good for us. He must rather be a savior and redeemer from real, great, grievous, and damnable transgressions and iniquities. Yea, from the very greatest and most shocking of sins, to be brief, from all of the sins added together in a grand total. My friend, you're going to have to get used to the belief that Christ is a real savior and you are a real sinner. For God is neither jesting nor dealing in imaginary affairs, but he was greatly and most assuredly in earnest when he sent his own Son into the world and sacrificed him for our sakes. I stand before you today with great joy in my heart to tell you that we have a real Savior for real sinners. Real Savior for real sinners. People have always said, you know, I should write a book about all of the airplane conversations that I have. I don't think it's worth that, but I do come to you today with another one about, this happened some time ago, where a woman was very, very prim and proper and not needing a savior. So I said to her, I said, would you consider yourself ungodly? And I said it with a smile. Don't ask a question like that unless you're smiling. And she was clearly, even with my smile, somewhat offended. Of course I'm not ungodly. I said, I'm so sorry to hear that, because that means that Jesus didn't die for you. The Bible says that Jesus died for the ungodly. I said, I'm ungodly, and he died for me. And if you admit your need, he died for you as well. One time I was on a talk show with a very liberal scholar whose name I shall not give because it goes into other matters, but he was very much disdaining the idea that either Christianity was unique or that Jesus died for sinners. He said it's barbaric. And he was arguing vociferously against all the things that you and I have just heard in the last half hour. So I said to him, as the show was beginning to end, I said, what word do you have for a person sitting in prison who's committed rape, who wants to know whether or not he can be forgiven? And you know, he had virtually nothing to say. Isn't it wonderful that because Jesus meets the requirements of saviorhood, not just prophet, there are all kinds of prophets out there who have human fathers because they're sinners, but he actually meets the requirement of saviorhood. As you've heard me say so many times, there's nobody else out there like him. That's why he doesn't have a dark secret in his past. He was not fathered by Pantera or Joseph. That which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit, and he shall be holy, and he shall give himself as a ransom for the sins of the world. Don't you love that, Savior? Let's pray together. Our Father, we do want to thank you so much that Jesus came to rescue us. We thank you that while other religions might be like people drowning and others coming next to them and saying, "Let's join hands to go to the bottom of the lake together," we thank you today that Jesus is actually able to cleanse us, to save us, to bring us into the presence of God, and to declare us as holy as he is. Thank you, Father. Help us to love him, to defend him, to speak of him, to share him with all whom we meet. And now, before I close this prayer, what about your relationship to him? He sees your heart, even where you are right now. You can receive Christ. You can say, "I trust Jesus today to be my Savior, my sin bearer." Father, we pray that you might do that in the lives of many. We ask in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I have a question for you. Are you blessed as a result of the ministry of Running to Win? Do messages like the one that you have just heard encourage you? Do they embolden you? I hope so. We received a letter from someone who said, "Dear Pastor Lutzer, thank you for your program and resources. I recently have felt emboldened by the Spirit to be more vocal about what is happening in our country and the world. I've been challenged to take a stand for Christ. I support these Running to Win messages and am glad that there are resources like these that offer courage to stand for Christ. We always are encouraged ourselves by your report as to what Running to Win means to you. Would you consider standing with us as these messages go out? Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? Endurance partners are those who give regularly, and they pray for us. If you want more info, and I hope you do, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. When you're there, click on the Endurance Partner button. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Now, let me give you that phone number again. 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for standing with us in Running to Win.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding, "Jesus Has a Dark Secret," the fourth lie in his new series on slandering Jesus, lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. Next time, join us for lie number 5, the lie that Jesus escaped the crucifixion. This entire series of messages can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about slandering Jesus. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.